Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Rama, 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 Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Rama, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare Rama, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pacharane, Nivasev Sasunyavadi Pashatyade Satarane. Om Agyanatamirandasya Zana Zana Salakaya Taksu Samilatanjena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Jaina Utale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sa Pandantikam Vansa Kalpatrubhyas Cha Kripa Sindhu Bayeva Cha Patitanam Pavyanebhyo Vaisavebhyo Namo Nama Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Indra, is the sound okay? Is it here? Oh, I can't do anything from here. Govinda, perhaps you could convince him that he should put it, maybe, this is louder definitely, yes? If you can't hear properly, raise your hand. Okay, it sounds like it has to be a bit louder. Okay, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So, today, three times. So it is actually quite an incredible scene that is going on by Govardhan Hill because a cow and a person have descended from higher planets. And that person is quite effulgent. But the person sitting at the base of the hill is even more effulgent. A devata, a demigod, as opposed to the supreme god, who's sitting at the base of the hill with a peacock feather atop of his head and dressed just like an ordinary cowherd boy. And when the crown or the head of Indra touches the feet, lotus feet, of that effulgent cowherd boy, that helmet glitters like the sun. And he's offered prayers of apology, and he should apologize because he tried to destroy all of Braja, including Krishna, including all the residents of Vrindavan, including the cows. He tried to kill everyone because of his anger, and his anger was due to his pride. So in the 14th verse, Sukadev Goswami, this is in the 27th chapter, which is called Lord Indra and Mother Surabhi offer prayers. So Indra has offered his prayers. So we know that Surabhi, the celestial cow, is also going to offer prayers. So Srila Sukadev Goswami said, thus glorified by Indra, so Indra has just offered his prayers, 10 prayers, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he smiled. And then he spoke to him as follows, with a voice resonant like the clouds, meaning the thunder coming from clouds, which is very deep and rumbling. When Brahma had committed an offense to Krishna, Krishna just looked at him. He didn't respond. And Brahma felt very uncomfortable until he understood that it is time for me to leave. I don't belong here. But here, Krishna is going to speak to Indra in 3 verses. He's going to answer Indra's prayers. Krishna is indeed merciful, as he is beneficent and magnanimous, as His Holiness Sachinanda Maharaj mentioned in his class this morning. But he was also angry at Indra because Indra had attempted to destroy the village of Braja, the village of Vrindavan. Now, as these chapters have flowed, 26, 27, and tomorrow the 28th, the 25th chapter was about Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill. The scenes are tremendous. A huge hill is being lifted by a little boy. But the next scene, the 26th chapter, which we've been speaking about in the first 2 days, it's not a dramatic scene at all. It's just the cowherd men speaking amongst themselves and then speaking to Nanda Maharaj. But now the drama is going to increase, and tomorrow it will increase still further. So Krishna was thinking that, this is how our acharyas define Krishna's generosity, his magnanimity, because Krishna, as he did with Brahma, he might not have even spoken to him, not even replied, because he considered him an insignificant offender, an offender, but insignificant. How did Krishna protect all of Braja from all the power of Indra? He held up a hill with the little finger of his left hand. That's not significant in a sense. It's not a large part of Krishna's power. So although he considered him an insignificant offender, he's going to speak to him in 3 verses. So the first verse is this, the first of the 3. Maya te kori magavan. Magavan is the name of Indra, the person of the cow, of the clouds. So by me unto you, this has been done. Krishna has done something to Indra. In one sense, he didn't do anything to Indra. He just lifted the hill in response to what Indra's attempt to kill all of Braj. Maka bhango angrinata. That maka means the sacrifices. Bhanga means I broke your sacrifice out of my mercy to you. This is how he responds to Indra. Indra was so angry, thinking that it was the greed of Krishna that caused Krishna to stop his sacrifice. But actually, Krishna's going to say, it was my mercy. Man anusmritaye niyam, because I wanted you to always remember me. Matasyendra Sriya Brisham. I wanted to remember me because you, mata means intoxicated. You were intoxicated by Indra Sriya. You're the opulence of Indra. Brisham, you are greatly intoxicated by the opulence that you have. And out of my mercy, I have done this to you. I've stopped your sacrifice. Out of my mercy, I've broken your plans. And I've gotten you angry out of my mercy. Because I wanted you to remember me. Because Indra wasn't a demon. He wasn't an asura. He was a devotee. Now, there's such a lesson even in this. First, we'll read the BBT translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Indra, it was out of mercy that I stopped the sacrifice meant for you. You were greatly intoxicated by your opulence as King of Heaven, and I wanted you to always remember me. And this is the challenge, because we all, just like Indra had his plans for enjoyment, intoxicated by what he thought was his capacity to enjoy, his plans to enjoy, his power to enjoy, and then Krishna stopped it. There is a pride that every conditioned soul has. This is what it means to be a conditioned soul. There is an arrogance. What's the difference between arrogance and pride? Who's going to try that one? Okay, we'll start with, what does pride mean? Excuse me? Yes, or yes. But there's false pride, and then there's real pride, Prabhupada said, but he often says in this connection, false pride. Consider ourselves what we are, because after all, who am I? First, to think of pridefully, think of oneself more than one actually is. One has to know who one actually is and consider that who I am is 1/10,000th the tip of a hair in size. Practically any conception is prideful other than that. I mean, that's insignificant. I mean, how many, it takes what, that's 1/10,000 of, if we put 10,000 Burjans all together and compress them into like a ball that could fit on the tip of a hair. And here I am, here I am thinking, do you notice? You notice who's speaking? If you didn't, it's me. This is false ego. This is false pride. Every conditioned soul, having turned their back on Krishna, has been gifted with a material mind that considers oneself the center of existence. This is the gift of Maya, the gift that we wanted from. We wanted this gift to turn our back on Krishna and think of myself as the central person in the drama. And as I've mentioned already, that we can't convince anyone else of this fact, that I'm the central person. Because everyone is thinking that I'm the central person, and you are all just, you have minor parts in the great drama of which I am the star. Now, if I say, does anyone not think like that? No, who will raise their hand? And what's the purpose of being the center and the star? Intoxicated by false ego? Ishwaraham, aham bhogi, siddhavan, that I can enjoy. I want to enjoy independently of Krishna. And Krishna, out of his kindness to Indra, said, no, I'm going to get in the way of all your plans. I'm going to stop your sacrifice. Because instead of thinking always of me, 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 I want you to think of Krishna saying, me, 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 me. He wants us to think about him. This has been such a theme. of this entire retreat to think about Krishna instead of being small self, small letter self, absorbed, thinking of Krishna, being absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. This is Manmana Bhava Madbhakto. This is what it means to be a devotee. And what to speak of being a devotee in Braja. No one has to tell the residents of Vrindavan to think of Krishna. In fact, when Krishna sent Uddhav to Vrindavan to say that you should think of him, think of Krishna, and because he's in everything, he's everywhere, you can think of him and he'll be present in that way. And the gopis just looked at him and said, you're telling us that our problem, you're solving our problem, is that we should think of Krishna, but our problem is just the opposite. We can't stop thinking about Krishna, and he's not here. That's the problem of the residents of Vrindavan. They can't stop thinking about Krishna, and that's the product of their love. So Krishna, as he did with Indra, in case you haven't noticed, he will get in the way even of our own insignificant plans, with our own insignificant powers, and something always happens. There's that famous, not funny, ISKCON joke, how do you make Krishna laugh? Tell him your plans. But it's not very funny, I think, anyway. So, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this is his reply to Indra. I did it. I did it. If we have that vision, I did it. I mean, Krishna did it. Don't blame me, please. Krishna is the one. That's Tateyanu Kampamsu Samikshamano. It's Krishna who's giving me this because he wants me to turn to him. And devotees turn to Krishna. And devotees who are sadhakas really must learn this trick. It's not a trick, because I've seen that when I don't get my way, like a little child, you know, internally I start complaining and crying and I become angry. And who do I get angry at? Krishna. Or everyone else, and Krishna too. But this tendency should be stopped. Just to turn to Krishna with Ridvagva Purvam Vandama Namaste, that Krishna, not only with our words, but with our heart and our actions, we turn to Krishna and offer him respectful obeisances, understanding that this is his mercy, and turning to him and remembering him. And sometimes we just have to think Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. When something happens and our tendency is to be angry, we think Krishna, 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 and don't let the mind think of anything else. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So our acharyas say that because Indra had spoken with sincerity, even though there was tinges of selfishness in there, because he didn't want Krishna to punish him for what he had done, because what he had done was so terrible, he was sincere. And therefore, Krishna speaks to him sincerely. And his instruction was, I did this to so you would remember me, and you should do this. This is the word, remember me, always. In the Sanskrit, it's nitya. Go back to the Sanskrit, please, just for a moment. Yeah, nityam, always remember me. Okay, go back. I want you to always remember me. So, because the conditioned soul tends not to remember Krishna in his dreamy, dreamy world of planning and looking to the future and looking back to the past and criticizing this one. The material mind is so incredible, because on one hand, it's thinking itself so wonderful And then the next moment, it could be thinking, oh, I'm the worst, I'm the lowest, I'm everything. And then the next moment, I'm the greatest. How dare anyone do that? This is the power of the material energy. It's illusory. It's illusory, and it bewilders us, and it keeps the mind running. I like this. I don't like that. And the one thing I like at this moment could be the object of complete distaste. The next moment, Krishna wants us to remember him because that in that remembrance is his association. That's what the acharyas say. He wants us to associate with him because he wants to associate with us too. And with our back turned to Krishna, Krishna bhule se jeev, we can't have much of a relationship. I mean, can you just try to talk to a person who's like this? My hands are crossed, by the way, and perfect dumb. I mean, you can't talk to a person, you can't relate to a person, you can't have a relationship with a person whose back is turned to you. So Krishna, if we can somehow see all that happens, see Krishna's hand in it, then we are very fortunate and we've taken the greatest step home to be with Krishna. And here's another part of a quotation. I'm not sure which of the acharyas it is, but probably Srila Vaishnava Chakravarti Thakur. You were intoxicated by your pride and had forgotten me, who are always intoxicated also, but by love. It would be impossible for Indra to have remembered Krishna because he had been proud of his power and his wealth. So Krishna took that away from his devotee, and the devotee turned to him. Next verse. Krishna's going to explain this more. A man blinded by intoxication with his power and opulence cannot see me nearby with the rod of punishment in my hand, with a stick in my hand. And if I desire his real welfare, I drag him down from his materially fortunate position. Now we're all saying, thank you, Krishna, I really. Yasyaham anugrami harishet taddanam shanai. And ultimately, every single person, not only person, but every living entity gets dragged down from his position because everyone in the material world is not going to last in this material body. And all the things that we, the cause of our pride, the cause of our material happiness, we will lose them one by one. So Krishna, to teach the fortunate devotee who he's going to favor in this way, he takes away things. And then the devotee, because the devotee is a devotee, turns to Krishna because he has no other place to turn. Our acharyas give a dual meaning for the fact that a person who is intoxicated by pride and power, they give a dual meaning for the fact they don't see me with a stick in hand. For the non-devotee, that means I'm there. You've acted in so many ways in this life that have caused trouble to others, caused trouble to oneself. Greed, lust, anger, etc., etc., etc. So selfish, etc. And you're in the law of the land of the law of karma, and you are going to get punished for everything you do. For every action, there's a reaction to it. So they don't see Krishna as there. They just think I can get away with anything and everything until, boom, It happens that they found they can't get away with it. Suddenly they find themselves in prison or dying or something. But there's another meaning for devotees. Acharya say, if one is blinded by the intoxication of power and opulence, for a devotee, he's unable to see me with my cowherding stick in my hand. And that's even more sad because he's a devotee. Unable, the curtain of pride and enjoying spirit causes the inability to see Krishna, who the devotee wants to see and be with. So Krishna says to Indra, is saying to Indra or Acharya, say, that I could have taken everything from you, but you wouldn't have been able to tolerate it. So therefore, I only stopped your sacrifice. And that was difficult enough for you to deal with. Next verse. And this is his final instruction, his final response to Indra. And we're going to require you in a moment, if you'll kindly. Indra, he says, Krishna says, you may now go. Remember that we were talking, there's a theme going on in these, not quite yet, almost, but not quite yet. There's a theme going on that I was hoping that everyone would be aware of and watch, is Krishna's reciprocation with different kinds of devotees. So we haven't really seen much yet. We've seen the cowherd men act. We've seen Nanda Maharaj respond to their words, their questions. We've seen him respond with Gauga Rishi's words. And they are different levels of devotees, but they are all devotees. And Indra is also a devotee. How is he going to respond to to Indra? Because there's different levels of devotees. And how does Krishna respond to each of these different levels? Indra, you may go now. Where is Indra when Krishna tells him to go? He's in Govardhan. Indra, you go now. Execute my order and remain in your appointed position as King of Heaven. But be sober without false pride. Don't be intoxicated. Be sober. A person who is intoxicated does not see things accurately. A person who is sober sees things accurately. You're a tiny soul. You're empowered to do a particular thing by me. And that's a service. You're a devotee. You do that service. But beware. You're dealing with power. You're dealing with opulence. Beware of false pride. Because it will cause you not to be able to see me with my cowherding stick in my hand. So our acharyas say, this grave instruction, very, very sobering instruction, also was meant to be a lesson for all the demigods, as well as all those who have wealth and power. And in Kali Yuga, no one will admit they have no wealth or power. Everyone is proud in Kali Yuga. Now we're ready. Now Krishna is going to speak to Indra. Because in the previous chapter in his prayers, Indra, or this chapter, he had prayed, please remove this pride from me. And Krishna has told him in a gentle way, you return to your position as King of Heaven, you must go. Krishna says, remain sober and without pride. Be situated in your position, otherwise I will punish you again. The Lord did not promise that Indra would now become free from pride, That is because later, Inzu would show pride when Krishna stole the Parijata flower, and that pride would be necessary for carrying out Krishna's pastime. Indra says, please give me mercy so that I may stay in Braja. Krishna responds, no. No, Indra. Return to your place. May there be safety for you. Thus Krishna released Indra from fear. Krishna continues. He sees that Indra is reluctant to leave. And he then says, go to your heavenly planet, and there you should follow my orders. Since you are unqualified, your staying here in Braja amongst the Brijbasis would produce more offenses. Going to Swaga is better for you. Indra responds to this by saying, O Lord, even if I go, I will commit offense, since that is the nature of having power. Krishna responds, do as I have instructed. Remain in your position, not in the position of others. What to speak of the position of the people of Braja, who are my intimate associates? Act with attentiveness. Be conscious of what you are doing. Don't be inattentive. Act with bhakti. Act free from pride. Giving this benediction was not really mercy, but merely instructions with logic, since Indra was not otherwise capable, since he had no potential at this point to receive complete mercy. Sometimes, okay, thank you, but don't go away. Sometimes we pray, Krishna, or I pray, let me be in high position, let me be in Braja, please Krishna. But what would I do there? I'd take out my cell phone and stand in front of Radha and Krishna. Guess who's here, everyone? Put it on my Instagram account or something like that. It's me. Because one needs the qualities of the residents of Vrindavan to actually be in Braja. It is not that Krishna is keeping us out of Vrindavan. I mean the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. It is our lack of love for Krishna that keeps us out, exiles us, so to speak. But he said to Indra, you have no potential at this point, but what we... Like a child in the third grade who wants to become a nuclear physicist, you know, please make me a nuclear physicist, but he's in the third grade. But if he follows properly the educational system and he sincerely desires that, because everyone has the capacity, in fact, to be with Krishna and Jivera Srupai, Krishna Nitya Das. This is what Nitai and Gaur have come to give us. This is what Srila Prabhupada has come to give us. And Prabhupada's dear followers and the Goswamis. And we have but we have to take it. We have to be eager, we have to be patient also and follow the process. And then Krishna will, he'll help so much. And that's the end of Krishna's response. Now, a contrast is going to take place. Who did Indra come with? Suravi, a cow. Indra came with fear. Surabhi came with joy and love. And Surabhi now here's the introduction to Surabhi coming. Ataha. Then Surabhi Krishnam. Surabhi now will speak to Krishna. Indra had his turn to speak to Krishna. Now Surabhi speaking to Krishna. Avidanya Manasvini, she was offering her respects with a peaceful mind because she hadn't done anything terrible. She was at all. So her mind was peaceful. Swa Sananar Upamantriya. She was together with her progeny, the cows. And she was asking Krishna, begging Krishna for his attention humbly because she wanted to say something to him. She wanted to offer him something. And because she was a cow, a heavenly cow, and Krishna was in the form Gopa Rupina Ishwaram. He was in the Gopa Rup, in the form of a Gopa, but yet she knew he was the Ishwara. So she was on. She came from Swaga. So she wasn't a resident of Vrindavan. Indra came from the higher planets, and he wasn't a resident of Vrindavan. But Surabhi, somehow or another, will get the benediction. Well, Indra got the order to go. Surabhi got the benediction to stay. Because Surabhi, Prabhupada, or the BBT purport to the 18th verse says, the heavenly cow Surabhi approached Lord Krishna along with her progeny, Swasantanai. It is a reference to the transcendental cows who play with Lord Krishna Vrindavan. She was a heavenly cow, but she had a relationship with these transcendental cows who were already residents of Vrindavan. So the heavenly cow, Surabhi, affectionately saw them, as indeed Lord Krishna himself did, as related to her. So she had a relationship with them, a loving relationship with them. And they were so dear to Krishna. And she saw them as her own. And Indra, how did he see the resonance of Vrindavan? He tried to kill them all. He had to go. But Surabhi will stay. Even though Krishna doesn't directly order it, that's the result. Even though her consciousness was not yet like the resonance of Vrindavan, but it will be. It will be one day. She had it because she was accepted amongst the associates of Krishna, the cows. So here's the translation. Mother Surabhi, along with her progeny, the cows, then offered her obeisances to Lord Krishna. Respectfully addressing his attention, the gentle lady addressed the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was present before her as a cowherd boy. Since Surabhi was there first, and in the beginning we heard that she came, and also Indra came, but yet Surabhi humbly let Indra speak first. One reason she wanted to hear what Indra would say, what his confession would be, what his apology would be like, and another reason was that she wanted to see how Krishna would react to that, and she's just seen how Krishna reacted. So she began, she also will speak three verses. Even though she wasn't on the level of, she was from Swarga, she also will speak three verses. And the first verse that she speaks is the next one. It's an ecstatic verse. Krishna, Krishna, immediately. Nama Sankirtan, Krishna, Krishna, Mahayogin, O greatest of mystics. He held up the hill after all. He does amazing things continuously. Vishratma, Vishvasambhava, you are the soul of the universe. You are the life of the universe. You are the origin of the universe. Bhavatad Lokanatena, and you are the master of the world, Sanata Vayam Achuta. And because I am in this world, you are also my master. So she simply wanted to surrender to Krishna. And as it will turn out, she wants to offer a specific service to Krishna because she's a cow and she has milk. She wants to bathe Krishna with her milk. And this is the perfect fulfillment of who she is in this, in her swaga body. And the same point applies to us. Each one of us have our gifts. We each have our offering to make. And we should offer it to Krishna. Indra had his gifts, his power, his prestige. They are gifts of Krishna. Indra used those against Krishna due to his pride, due to his intoxication, due to pride. And Sarabhi very humbly, sweetly, gently wants to offer her milk to Krishna. Mother Sarabhi said, Krishna, Krishna, O greatest of mystics, O soul and origin of the universe, you are the master of the world. And by your grace, O infallible Lord, we have you as our master because we are in this world. We are naturally yours. You're the master of the world. You are our master naturally. Such a contrast with Indra. Here's a comment of the Acharyas. O Lord, who is full of unlimited qualities, such as affection for your devotees, you are in all ways more attractive than anything or anyone else. O Krishna, O Krishna. This was her opening prayer. Second. Next, please. Next. Tvam na paramakam daivam. You, Tvam, you are our supreme worshipable deity. Again, she's not on the level of the Vrishbhasis yet, but it's a matter of time for her. It's a matter of time for Indra too, but she is closer. You are our supreme worshipable deity. Tvam na Indra jagatpate. You, na our. You are our Indra. You are our Lord. Gotripte varanam tata. I am yours now. Saranagati. I am yours. I surrender to you. Please allow me to serve you. Please accept me. Tvam na Indra jagatpate. You are the master of the universe. You are our Indra. You are our Lord. Bhavaya, bhavago vipra. For the welfare, bhavaya means the welfare. Bhava, please. You please accept this position of being our Indra. And for the cows, go. It will bring great benefit for the cows, the vipra, the Brahmins, devanam, the demigods, yate, sadava. And for the sadhus, the whole world will be benefited if everyone follows Surabhi and accepts Krishna and surrenders to Krishna and uses whatever they have, whatever situation they're in the service of Krishna in a cooperative way. This was really Prabhupada's conviction, as we'll see. In a moment, we'll see the result that occurs from what happens next. You are our worshipable deity, therefore, O Lord of the universe, for the benefit of the cows, the Brahmins, the demigods, and all other saintly persons, please become our Lord. Please become our Indra. Please accept me as your servant. You are the master of the universe. You are therefore our master. You are my master. In being king of the cows, you have also given auspiciousness to the Brahmins, the devatas. Therefore, please fulfill our desire and become our Indra. You are the protector of the entire universe, and therefore, naturally, you are our Indra. You are our Lord. Next verse. Almost ready again. As ordered by Lord Brahma. Now here's her desire. As ordered by Lord Brahma, we shall perform your bathing ceremony to coronate you as our Indra. O soul of the universe, you descend to this world to relieve the burden of the earth. So she's speaking again on the level of the devatas. But yet, her surrender and mood of surrender is complete. She's accepting Krishna as her Lord, and she wants to serve him. We want to coronate you as Indra, O soul of the universe. Now, okay. Sarabhi says, as you are our king, as you are our Indra, please allow us to install you in the role of our Indra with an abhishek, a bathing ceremony, coronation ceremony. Krishna responds, by whose order do you want to do this? Is this just your independent desire? Sarabhi says, it has been ordered by Brahma. When Indra was afflicted with fear, he went to Brahma, and Brahma explained everything to him about your position. But Brahma himself, she says, would not come when Indra was to beg forgiveness for his great offense, for he feared committing another offense, since he had already committed one offense. This is a very healthy mentality. Brahma, remembering his own previous offense, has fearfully given me this order. O Sarabhi, you are very dear to the Lord. You should protect your offspring. Therefore, you should go to Krishna, who is an ocean of mercy, and get Indra forgiven for his offense. Perform the abhishek for Krishna and install the and install the Lord as Indra for the cows. Please, Krishna, Sarabhi said, allow us to install you as our Indra. Krishna responds, but how can I, who is the son of Nanda, the king of a cowherd village, a member of the cowherd community, how can I be your Indra? Both you and Brahma have lost your proper discrimination. Tora Pagal. I don't think she was so crude as that. But and then Sarabhi says, please do not cheat us. You reside eternally in the highest Goloka as our eternal Lord and have now appeared on earth with Nanda and other of your associates to relieve the earth of its burden. You do not take birth as do humans. Please, you should agree to this. Allow us to perform this abhishek because you appeared on earth to give happiness. This happiness will appear for everyone when you are sprinkled with water in the abhishek. Just as the entire tree becomes joyful when its roots are sprinkled with water. Then Srila Sukadeva Goswami said, having thus appealed to Lord Krishna, Mother Sarabhi performed his bathing ceremony with her own milk. And Indra, ordered by Aditi and other mothers of the demigods, anointed the Lord with heavenly Ganga water from the trunk of Indra's elephant carrier, Aravat. Thus, in the company of the demigods and great sages, Indra coronated Lord Krishna, the descendant of Dasaraha, and gave him the name Govinda. Then Indra participated in this. He also participated because he was ordered by Aditi and the other heavenly mothers. He also bathed Indra. First, he was remaining standing in the back because he felt himself such an offender. So after being ordered by Aditi and others, he took that order as the qualification to come close to Krishna. There's something very deep in that. Because everyone naturally pushes to come close, but that's not exactly the Vaishnava way of dealings. When the Vaishnavas say, now you come close, you lead the kirtan, you do this, you perform the abhishek. There's that element of humility, and Indra's humiliation gave him the humility. So that's something to keep in mind when, as life goes on, and we have a time here, and then we have a time here. And this is the nature of conditioned life. So he took their order as qualification, and he performed the bathing ceremony, and he named Krishna Govinda. And there are three meanings of Govinda that our acharyas say. Go means cows, and Vinda means to protect. So the protector of the cows and the Brahmins. Go also means the senses, because the senses, like cows, tend to wander everywhere. But Govinda then means, if taking go meaning senses, Govinda means one who can protect and nourish the devotees by attracting their senses. It's so important that our senses become attracted by Krishna, who is so beautiful. How can our senses become attracted by Krishna? Krishna has so kindly come in the form of the deities who have so attractive. I've heard Prabhupada say, everyone knows that the deity is made out of stone. But to think that deity is only stone is offensive, because Krishna has entered into that stone and he's present. And by hearing about Krishna, yad yad diyata urugaya vibhayanti tan tan pani esi sadanugrahaya, Krishna can be situated in the heart by the process of hearing. And the third meaning is go can also mean swagaluk. And with that meaning, Govinda can also mean one who enjoys the position of Indra as Vamandev. Yeah. So, there's one little point here, and then we'll, Surabhi and Indra named he who had appeared in the Yadu dynasty as Govinda, a name related to his pastimes in Gokul. For that name glorified him and also showed their affection for the Lord. That is the topmost understanding, because it's so full of the affection of Gokul, of Vrindavan, of Vraja, Govinda. Now here is a description of the abhishek of Krishna. And this so much was Prabhupada's mission, in one sense, to spread Krishna consciousness, to bring happiness to the world. And if the world would somehow or another decide that they're not going to be envious of Krishna and place themselves individually in the center and fight each other, who's going to be the center? I'm going to be the center. No, you can't be the center because I'm the center. Okay, for right now, I'm going to let you be the center, but I'm right behind you, and as soon as there's some mistake and I have the opportunity, I'm going to put the knife in your back. What a life. But if everyone would agree to accept Krishna is the center, Govinda in the center, and use their abilities in his service, then this is what happens to the world. First we'll read the description, and then of the acharyas gave of the abhishek, and then we'll go to the Bhagavatam verses that describes the happiness of the world, basically the whole world becomes like Braja. Please. Thus, Surabhi, of her own volition, means by her own will, bathed Krishna. Krishna, though, remained silent. He didn't agree to this, but his silence was his agreement. This is the sign of his consent. Indra bathed Krishna along with the sages, for he was ordered to do so by the mothers of the devatas who had come there. They had told Indra, Krishna, the Supreme Lord, has a heart that's soft with mercy, and he's affectionate to those who surrender. In the company of his dear associates, you should come forward, and this time it is proper for you to do that. Do not fear him. Perform this festival with devotion. Then, along with the sages, Indra bathed Krishna. He bathed him in Ganga water, brought in a jeweled pot using Aravata's trunk. Even an elephant can be used, can serve. He himself, Indra, rang a jeweled bell. And using that elephant, Aravata, Indra quickly gathered water from many, many sacred places. Thus, along with the devatas and the sages, Indra bathed Krishna. Aravata's trunk was used to hold jeweled pots of water, an act that gave Aravata a chance to show his special devotion. And hearing about this Abhishek, Sukadev Goswami was speaking to Prakrit Maharaj. On hearing about this Abhishek, Krishna's Maharaj Prakrit's heart glowed with joy. Now, to the Bhagavatam verses with some comments. Tumburu, Narada, and other Gandharvas, along with the Vidyadharas, the Siddhas, and the Charanas, they came there to sing the glories of Lord Hari, which purify the entire world. Therefore, and the Krishna consciousness, what we're supposed to be doing is glorifying Hari everywhere, because the world is purified by those glories. And the wives of the demigods, filled with joy, they dance together in the Lord's honor. There's a comment by our acharyas. The glories of Krishna remove all faults in bhakti up to the desire for liberation. Next, the most eminent demigods chanted the praises of the Lord, and they scattered wonderful showers of flowers all around him. All the three worlds felt supreme satisfaction. And the cows drenched the surface of the earth with their milk. And by this festival, Indra even, who had so much difficulty accepting that Krishna was the Supreme Lord, even Indra felt joy. The rivers, they flowed with various kinds of tasty liquids. Trees exuded. Honey came from the trees. Edible plants came to maturity without even being cultivated, and hills gave forth jewels formerly hidden in their interiors. Here's a comment by one of the acharyas. And again, this was the one that really made me think why Prabhupada's compassion, his compassionate conviction was the importance of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. Previously, only in Vrindavan did the trees flow with honey. Now, because of the Krishna being in the center and everyone worshiping Krishna within their capacity, now this not only in Vrindavan was happening, but it was happening throughout the universe. Whatever was outstanding in Vrindavan now became even more so And it spread throughout the three worlds. Maharaj Sukadev Goswami says, "Oh Purikit, oh beloved of the Kuru dynasty, upon the ceremonial bathing of Lord Krishna, all living creatures, even those cruel by nature, became entirely free of enmity, envy, and anger towards each other." The Acharyas comment, "Not only did good qualities appear, but bad qualities were destroyed, and all creatures showed dedication to the Lord. Those creatures famous for their innate cruelty by their natures, or which were violent with each other, such as snakes and violent towards each other, snakes and mongoose, yes, mongoose, and also eagles, by the way. They all became friends, just as when Krishna was born. And Mahaprabhu, when traveling through the forest, this description in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the deer and the tigers were kissing each other. And all the worlds attained bliss because of the nature of this Abhishek, because Krishna is the center. They could not, so this is so applicable in not only in the universe, but in countries and in villages and even in families and even within ourselves, which sometimes there's an inner war going on. Same point. And that's probably where it begins. The internal life of glorifying Krishna ends the war, and the different parts of us become friends with themselves. So after he had ceremonially bathed Lord Govinda, yes, who is the master of the cows and the cowherd community, King Indra took the Lord's permission and surrounded by the demigods and other higher beings, he returned to his heavenly abode. He had to leave Braja. Just some concluding comments by the Acharyas on this. By participating, and here is such a key for the devotees to do their internal work. By doing this, Indra himself gained no prominence, but he produced benefit for the entire world. He not only understood that Krishna was the master of the cows and Gokul, but also that the Lord was his own master. Indra previously was almost rejected because of his offenses, but now he was surrounded by the devotees who accepted him. And then he took permission from the Lord and he returned to Swargaloka. Surabhi, though, remained there in the association of her offsprings, the transcendental cows. So interesting, even Gaugacharya, when he came to Vrindavan to perform the name-giving ceremonies for Krishna, he did his service, but then he left. He was an all-knowing sage, but he could not stay in Braja. Indra could not stay in Braja. All the demigods who performed the sacrifice, they could not stay in Braja. Nala Kuvera, Manigriva, originally, when they were the twin Arjun trees, they prayed to go back to their heavenly kingdom. Brahma even went back to being Brahma in the spiritual world. But Surabhi could stay. And that the area that locally it is said around the Surabhi Kund area, that's where she stayed, in that area. Hare Krishna. So chant along and pray to be able to serve. Well, pray whatever you like.
Krishna.
There's Govinda.
Hare Krishna. Krishna. Ki jai Srila Prabhupada, ki jai Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivinoda ki jai.